This is Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Morgan Quaintance, and you're listening to Studio Visit, the programme that takes you inside the studios of artists, cultural producers and theorists, discussing creative activity in the locations that ideas are born. In today's programme, I'll be meeting two members of the artist-led pirate television group Superlative TV. At the request of the group, voices of the two members interviewed have been altered to preserve anonymity. How did Superlative TV start and why?
I think it started because we saw a need. Not that there isn't a lot of art television about, that is a fact, there is a lot of art television, but it seems to almost become a brand where individuals' voice might be lost in the crowd. So what we're facilitating is this kind of open platform that we see as missing in broadcasting in general. So it's, you know, it's to fill the gap of open access television as well as art TV. We have a background working with lots of artists in London doing various projects with moving image and broadcast, whether that be radio or television. The digital switchover happened, yeah, and it just seemed like the perfect time to subvert an old medium that people aren't using anymore. It's a redundant space that can be completely free, completely uncensored, completely unrestricted, and not even the internet provides that opportunity for artists especially. But I mean, you look at the riots and how Twitter was, you know, they wanted to shut Twitter down. So this whole idea of how we use technology, modern technology, to have a voice, well, you know, it's, we're still being controlled. So I guess we're looking for a way to offer people a space where they can have their own voice, and we're not going to stop them.
It's interesting that you're talking about issues of control, because obviously what you're doing, you're having to do covertly necessarily, because it's not that legal, is it?
It's illegal.
And that's why I can't say who you are, who either of you are at the moment. I have to refer to you as
We're hoping that through our activity, eventually we're going to be seen as not criminals, but people offering something which maybe should be made legal.
Want to stress the it's fun because it's a legal point too much. I'd like to say that we're doing what seems right, and it's not because it's illegal that it's more fun. It's, we're doing it because there is a need and a want.
Yeah, eventually the idea is to have an open access television station in the UK, because there isn't one now. And it's happening all over the world, in America, even in parts of Eastern Europe. They've got artists now who are offered half an hour on a local channel.
And open access isn't the extent to what we plan to program. I think what we envisage our remit is, we don't have a remit at the moment, it's kind of a bit freer that way, and we don't need one. But we envisage something that's not just open access TV, but we would like to commission programs that look at relevant topics that national TV doesn't seem to cover.
Also, given the political situation and the feeling that maybe some parts of society, whether that be young people, minorities that are being targeted by sort of conservative policies, you know, who maybe are being misrepresented or not represented at all. So it goes beyond just offering young artists or people who feel like they don't have somewhere to show what they're doing, but, you know, talk about what's going on in the world now, and maybe about how history is repeating as well. And I was thinking earlier that the fact that it's on analog television and people are going to have to kind of actively detune their televisions to access the content is, I mean, first of all, you're getting an active audience, an engaged audience, because they're you know, they're making a big effort to find out what we're broadcasting. And also that it's almost like time traveling.
Yeah.
And it sort of feels like that anyway at the moment. I mean, I just think that a lot of what's happening now has happened 20, 30 years ago with Thatcher and, you know, before that, and that just seems to go in cycles, and it'd be nice to offer some hope.
So could you tell me a bit about what the programming is at the moment? I think, have I come right at the beginning of this project?
You've come in the start of phase two. So phase one has been collecting content, practicing camera work, assembling equipment and whatnot, and we're ready to go live. We've been trying to collect shows together and ideas, like formats. We've got one that we're advertising now, which is called Primetime. We're asking artists, curators, whoever, to submit three videos to us, one that they've made, one that they have influenced, and one that has influenced them. And we'll screen those when we've collected enough of them. When we launch on Transmitting Piratically in September, we have been filming and documenting events for the last year and a half, maybe a year.
Yeah. So we did interviews for PAMI last year, Peckham Artist Moving Image Festival. We worked with a radio station on Resonance, actually, The Gravy.
Mm.
Creating the visuals for that, which go on the website, and they have a great bunch of weird and wonderful musical acts that we kind of put our live mixing over the top. So we've got a whole catalogue of them now. And we're also commissioning new works with artists. So a lot of great young talent is going to be shown via our channel. And on top of that, we're also working on sort of more documentary style content about the political situation now. I mean, we're quite interested in the riots last year, and maybe looking back a year later on what's changed, what hasn't changed, but how people feel
as well. It's not.
And what's caused it. And this time without any censorship of people's views or how they felt about it. So we're working with artists who were there at the time and speaking to local people about how they feel. The aftermath of that big event, which was pretty major, and now it's Olympics 2012 and the sun is shining and it feels like maybe it didn't happen, but... where I live, there's a burnt-out house from last year, so it's a pretty big reminder of...
One of the things I wanted to talk to you a bit about was how this project kind of speaks to, let's say, new media history or the history of artists working with television and, I guess, working with video, because those two kind of go hand in hand. And you already kind of... talked about both of those, so public access, but also the idea of documentary film. Were those things in your mind when you were sort of building this idea from the ground up? Or?
Definitely. Definitely interested in tactical media and, you know, artists like Uber Morgan, who've kind of done major public interventions that have gone far beyond the art world, and really made people look at, you know, capitalist kind of companies like Amazon, or, you know, selling the American votes. I suppose the difference with a lot of those kind of politicized interventions is that it's through modern technology on the internet, and it sort of came to a bit of a cooling stage in the mid-2000s. So this one is a bit different, because rather than intervening in something that people aren't necessarily aware there's an artist behind, we're asking people to actively be involved in that. It's not a trick. It's asking the audience to engage directly with what's going on. There's So I guess that would be the difference.
I mean, television was always, in the 20th century, it seemed to be the villain. It was like the opiate of like the imagined masses. So, you know, people were supposed to be, wake up, stop looking at the TV and get out there and do something. So it's kind of nice to subvert the subversions that we've had before, right? So now television isn't the thing that's harming you. It's the thing that can actually show you something that hasn't been mediated, well, by any people with corporate interests or some sort of right-wing political idea. And I think that's really, really exciting.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Black Audio Film Collective and their film about Hands With Songs and how important that film is still today. And that is that was essentially a group of young, disenchanted youth that wanted to talk about what happened from a perspective where they didn't think there was a voice. And I guess it's a shame, but it feels like the same situation is happening now, and you know, coming together is maybe the best way to go about it. And also, I was thinking about the history of television and how it used to be that, you know, maybe there'd be one TV on a street, and so it was kind of an event to watch television, right? So you had all your neighbours coming round to that one house that was lucky enough to have a TV. And it became a communal activity. It sort of created a sense of community in that event. And so hopefully something similar will happen because of the sort of effort that people are going to go to tune in, that maybe other things happen out of it.
So speaking to you about this project, there's a clear distinction between what you're doing with television and what I see a lot of other collectives doing with television. Whereas what they're doing seems quite apolitical and more about pastiche and revisiting, I guess, youth television experiments by Channel 4 and cable access shows like TV Party. Yours does seem to have, more of a political bent. I was wondering if that was something that you're sort of going to strive to maintain throughout.
Yes, it's very important. Like, you can see that with contemporary TV, it's like a pastiche of itself. And it seems to be reiterating itself into like this kind of weird mess where everything's fucked up and complex and like beyond anyone's understanding. Like, if you've watched like some of Sophie Cundale's video work, she kind of looks at that quite closely and I think helps to break that down for us. But it's very important to be political because that's not what TV is doing. TV is being entertaining. TV is still the most watched entertainment platform. Still, it's more popular than the internet, but it's not very good. And like in a half an hour program, it seems like there's so much repetition and summing up and making sense of it all. It feels like I'm in primary school, but I'm not. And people are very clever and people like to be challenged and they like to be stimulated, and I don't understand why television isn't doing that. So that's why I think we're trying to do it. What do you think?
And because this is a long-term project, and for that reason you have to have integrity, and given situations that are happening now, and you know, even with the internet and technology being sort of controlled more by corporations, and it's even more important to have a strong view and a strong kind of guideline of, you know, good content, which is actually going to say something important, because I mean, somebody has to in this generation. And I think a lot of people are aware of what's going on, but I mean, in some senses there's too much information or too many platforms where people kind of talk about things that it gets spread out and there's no power. If there's one direct channel where people could come together, there's going to be a stronger voice. And I think that's maybe what's a problem with a lot of the TV collectives that are about, where you're talking about this kind of pseudo retro aestheticized content,
totally,
but it's totally, there's no voices.
It's totally event TV. Yeah. It's like, it is just TV Party reiterated again and again. Like,
and, you know, 100 artists might contribute to that event, but you don't know, you can't pick out one of those voices to find out what they're actually trying to say. And I think maybe that's something that needs to be addressed so that people do feel like they have a voice. And if somebody does submit something and they want to be credited, it's their work.
So as part of giving listeners a bit more of an insight into who we're interviewing here on Studio Visit, we give interviewees a choice of choosing a track or two tracks. And because I'm interviewing two people, we're going to have a track each. So the first track you guys are choosing is by
Speak Matambo.
And it's called
Gwababa, Don't Be Scared.
Describe to me, okay, what we're doing now is we're going to have a look around the studio, and you're going to describe to me the different pits and the different sections. Or maybe I'll ask you some questions about stuff and okay. I can explain what they are. So as you come into the studio, to the right, you've got like a shelf with three TVs on it, two videos. Explain this area. What's happening?
Chaos. lots of broadcasting equipment. Cameras, wires, props from previous videos we've helped artists make. There's a volcano from a great performance piece. There's probably about 20 televisions in the studio.
Yeah, there probably is.
And then right in front of us we've got a shopping trolley.
Yeah, that's not ours. I just turned up here.
With a Panasonic TV inside.
That we picked up from the audiovisual unit of the National Gallery that is closing down because they had to start outsourcing their videos and they don't do any video editing in-house and they were throwing them out. And someone said, we've got these going through, does anyone want them? So we've got loads of fantastic monitors.
Did you get anything else from them?
We got that one, the grey one, those two. There's another one that's a gallery in South London at the moment.
Wow.
And so underneath this tube, we've got there's a big tube in the corner, big blue tube, which is like someone sent you a humongous poster. But behind that, there's like a tape machine. What is that?
There's briefcases which hold like old style VHS cameras.
And are they functional?
They both are. There's only one power unit because one's a bit dodgy, the connections.
And then this is really interesting. You've got a kind of chainsaw.
Yeah, that's for sound effects. Those big red flight cases are full of huge Sony
monitors.
Yeah.
Over in the opposite corner, there's, as you were just saying, some huge red flight cases. And inside you've got huge monitors. Where did you get those from?
on eBay, we went halvesies with one of the artists who shares with them. Went up there to pick them up and didn't realise how big they were, and I fitted one in the boot.
The other five in several journeys.
The other five were delivered in the van.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
So you've got like an open fuse box for your light switch.
That's a circuit breaker. I was just plugging in some TVs to try and get more than one to show you the broadcast and reception.
Oh.
And this TV flipped the switch.
Oh, crap.
This is a cosmic egg in-house prop that we made for a performance about the end of the world. As you can see, it's very well made. Special effects, you know, this takes years to master. It's not funny if you can't see it.
I think maybe try and describe.
Well, I don't know if I can because I really love it. Basically, this is a bicycle wheel with a lot of structure made from cardboard and Argos catalogues, with a encased in a eggshell blue poster paint.
And it was what was the performance about that it was involved in? I know it's...
It was a apocalyptic daytime TV show about the end of the world, and at one point the two presenters dance with the cosmic egg. This has been in a few places.
So I think it's time for us to have your second track selection. Do you want to introduce it?
The track we're about to listen to is Black Cat by Broadcast.
Fire burning on.
we're still in the midst here talking about Superlative TV's experimental endeavour, but we've come to the end, and what I want to do is round up what we've been talking about by letting people know how they can get involved, and if you have a specific broadcast date for when it's going to be on air. So how can people get involved with Superlative TV?
Well, we have a website and a blog, and we have a mailing list, so that's one way to kind of keep up to date with what we're doing.
Could you give us the...
It's superlativetv.com or superlative.tumblr.com. Yeah. And we also have a Facebook group, of course. But what we're really encouraging people to do is to email us on antenna? It sounds weird when I say it.
Antenna
at superlativetv.com with any ideas that they have for broadcasting. We want to help people to make programs. We have the equipment, as you've seen. We've got, you know, we've got the monitors, we've got the cameras, and we want to help enable people to find their voice on the medium of television. So give us an email if you've got any kind of film or even something that already exists that you just want to show, then we're more than happy to have a look and put it on the channel.
And I guess, is this an international call? So it's open to anyone?
Yeah, of course. The more the merrier.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, guys, for inviting me into your studio.
Oh, thank you. Oh, just one other thing. We're also in the Artlix summer issue at the moment, which is a great read if anybody hasn't heard about it.
So those are your two options. You can either go to Superlative TV's websites or read this month's issue of Artlix. You've been listening to Studio Visit with Superlative TV, who've been fantastic guests. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I've been Morgan Quaintance. This is Studio Visit, and thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.